From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time it is where you're listening. We're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by some guy pointing at something over his shoulders. When you need someone to point at something over their shoulders, you should go to someguypointingoverhisshoulders.com. And don't forget to use the checkout code DI Plus for a special DI Plus listener discount. The fuck was that? Welcome to Dubious Intent Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the pointing man himself, Mr. Adam Burns.
Well, see, my it was the shadow. If you look over to that side, I have uneven lighting on the green screen. And I've been playing around with the green screen, and I'm like, oh my God, look, I have uneven lighting there. And I never can tell which shoulder the uneven lighting is over, so I have to point so I can see. Anyway.
Your window was mainly covered up with like Gmail and stuff, so your video is kind of like tucked behind these windows, and all I could see were these arms pointing, and I thought you were trying to signal me or something.
I'm doing my exercises. That's what it is.
Oh, did I say Google Plus window? No, what I meant was from that glass booth that you're in on the other side of the Palatial Pride 48 Studios here.
That's right.
Right. You're.
Why do you keep me in a glass booth? Do you want to like make sure that you don't get any of my cooties or something?
Yeah, it's hermetically sealed. I like to, make sure that I don't catch anything.
Actually, we do have to look at each other through Google Plus because we don't have a clear view.
Because the studios are so big, it's hard to see all the way across.
Yeah, actually it's right. More of like I have more of like a skybox in the studio, and we
okay,
have
now
one
you're
of those
changing the story.
No, we have one of those, you know, like the Dallas Cowboys stadium that they built, and they talk about that huge television screen that they have.
Yes.
You go to the game and you don't watch the actual field, you watch this big like 150,000 foot television.
Yeah, now what is up with that?
I was just listening
because you do that at concerts too, right? You go to a concert and instead you can't see the person on the stage, you instead are looking at the big huge video monitor behind him.
It's true. Well, you know, I think you just go for the experience, you know? So like I was listening to a radio show today.
Go
and they
for
were
the
talking,
experience. Stay for well, the contact high.
They were talking about that. Now, I don't know if you have heard about buying tickets for the Dallas Cowboys, but briefly, when they built this new stadium, to pay for it and to make Jerry Jones even wealthier, they decided that if you wanted to be a season ticket holder, you had to not only pay for the season tickets, but you had to buy a license in order to be able to pay for the season tickets.
This sounds like that Jackson Victory Tour back from before I was born.
No, I don't know about that. But basically, for one seat, for a season ticket for one seat, you first have to pay $5,000 just to license
what?
The right to purchase tickets.
Okay, that's insane.
Right? So it's $5,000 just to license it. And then you have to buy a season, and I don't know how much season tickets are, but I bet it's another couple of thousand dollars on top of it.
If only we had some access to some kind of global network where we could look up questions like that.
Well, I'm not going to. You go right.
Do Dallas Cowboy tickets cost? Season tickets. Is that what we're looking for? Season tickets?
Season tickets. Isn't there a song that has season tickets in it?
I don't know.
Tickets. For a one-way ride.
2011. No. It's not showing me the season tickets because the ticket is, the season is already underway, apparently.
Well, right. The tickets are going to be, they're going to vary depending on like where you're sitting and all of that kind of stuff. But
I just wanted to get an idea of what tickets, see, they're saying that you can get tickets for the Miami Dolphins and the Cowboys for $27.
But that's not the kind of season tickets that we're talking about.
Well, I don't know. And so the point is how many games do they play in a season?
I have no clue. This is the most about football that I know. I gave you all of my knowledge.
So,
there.
But I don't understand. Man. So you have to pay $5,000 to buy. Now, how do they expect anyone to go and see these games?
Well, people do, but you know, apparently when they first built the new stadium, a lot of the previous season ticket holders from before couldn't afford season tickets anymore. So, and I don't think the seats that we're talking about are 27, because actually they have, I think they have $27 to $30 tickets that are in, and they call it the party area, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
Basically, it is a concrete area with no seats in which they allow you to stand if you want. And they're in the end zone, so you don't see anything except like when they're kicking a field goal or running it in or whatever. You know,
you're making this stuff. We need a lesbian or something like that on this show to tell us these things, because I don't believe you know any more about sports ball than I do.
This is not about sports. Actually, I was in marching band from the time I was in sixth grade all the way until I graduated from college. Do you know how many football games I have attended in my life?
Those are college and high school football games.
Well, regardless, I've been to the stadium. I dropped someone off at the stadium once. They were going to a game, and Maddie and I took them to the stadium, and I saw the outside of it, and I saw how large it was, and I've listened to Dallas radio for a long time, and they were talking about ticket prices. And I know for a fact, based on what this caller said, that...
Caller, are you there?
No. Well, so, but I know this because I heard it on the news when the stadium was first finished, that they charge a licensing fee. Now, it's for a 30-year license, you cannot purchase a season ticket unless you pay this licensing fee.
And now I found a news article here. So the average ticket to a Cowboys game cost $159.65. Now, this was from 2 years ago. This was from September 9th.
Well, that's okay. So basically, you have to pay the $5,000 for the license, and then you had to buy the season pass or whatever. And that's, let's say, $150 a ticket. Let's say there are 15 games. Then you're paying basically another $2,000. So for one seat, just an average everyday seat, you're paying like $7,000 for one seat for a season.
That's just insane.
Now, the next year, you don't have to pay the licensing fee again, because apparently the licensing fee is for 30 years, like I said. So you do have that, and that gives you the right. But they don't hold the seat for you. What I heard was they hold it for up to like 2 weeks before the game, and if you haven't purchased the ticket by then, they will sell it to someone else.
Okay, this just sounds crazy.
Well, anyway, so all that to say, our studio is so large that we can't see each other. How we got into Dallas Cowboys, whatever.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
All right. I have no idea how we got there. So hi, how are you, Adam?
I'm wonderful. How are you? I'm high energy, just like I was last time. Mm-hmm. What I've done is I make myself just keep doing energetic things all the way until we record. I don't lay on the couch.
But you know, it's not even that. You don't even have to do energetic things all the way up until you record. It's I can't count the number of podcasts that I listen to that will have a really, really punchy intro, right? And then when it comes time for the people to start talking, they're like, "Welcome to Live It Up. I'm Wesley Stone." You know what I'm saying? It's just like
you're on that podcast. Like,
oh, wait. Well, you know, that's because he starts that podcast.
Do you do the whole punchy intro, and then you're like, "Yes, I'm Daniel Brewer."
No, I try to pump it up, because that's your first chance to make an appearance, you know, to make an impression upon people, you know.
I know. Well, you know, on Twitter, they're starting a new game, a gamer show, and they're doing all this fancy stuff with, like, you know. So, I mean, we need to up our production value a little bit.
Should.
The stakes are being raised.
I will tell you this. I can't tell you anything other than vagueness right now, but you know that there is one. There is one segment on this show whose music I dearly love.
Yes, okay. I do know that.
And you also know, because you've heard me bitch about it multiple times, that there is no such thing as a pristine recording of that song anywhere.
I believe you have said that as well, yes.
Yeah, it does not exist on any CD or anything. It was just part of that television show back in the 80s. So all of the copies of that song come from, you know, videotape. Copies.
Have you commissioned a work for the show? Is that what you're saying?
I have.
Oh, really?
I have. And I'm waiting to see whether the artists are going to... One part of the artist group has agreed to it, and we're waiting to hear back from the other.
Okay. Well, who are these artists?
I don't want to say anything because if they end up not doing it, then have a whole bunch of people that would, you know, they would be really upset.
So basically, we're in contract negotiations right now.
We're in contract negotiations with an unnamed group to redo our song.
So until we sign, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot reveal the identity of said artists.
That's right. That also means we're free agents. So if you want to send in your own version of that song, you know, maybe we'll just pay you instead.
Well, you know, as much contact as we get and as much audience participation, I can see as soon as I release this show to the universe, our inboxes are going to be filled with so many options. We may not even need those artists.
You know, but it's funny that you say that. But I mean, have you seen our Google Plus page? No, I don't go and look at it. You know, I don't know
if I've looked at it or not.
I don't post a lot of stuff there, but we have, I think we're up to like 60 people following us there on Google Plus on our little Dubious Intent page.
Really?
And we get people that comment on, you know, things that we post there. So that's always a cool thing.
When we don't get contact, we just read all of our comments from Google Plus from the entire week. Every last one of them in the thread. And read the names of everyone who has circled us for that week.
Right. Okay,
that will be our contact
section. It'll be wonderful. At least then we'll still get to pay the theme song that we're going to pay a lot of money to have done.
So
speaking of paying a lot of money, was that a good enough segue for you?
Not if you say that.
Oh, damn it. Speaking of paying a lot of money, I don't eat at home a lot. I tend to eat out for almost every meal. And there has been this trend lately in restaurants that is really starting to piss me off, which is for takeout, because I don't go to the restaurant to eat because I'm just there by myself, right? Oh my God, did you just throw your head back and go, oh.
No, it had nothing to do with you, and I muted myself. You didn't have to draw attention to it. We're not on video.
Anyway, so there's been this recent trend lately where they use the bartenders in these restaurants to handle your to-go order. So you call the restaurant and you order the to-go. Let's say it's at Chili's or it's at Red Robin or it's at Brick's Pizza or any place like that. You call and then you have to go to the bar to get your takeout. And the bartenders could not give four shits about you. They are the worst because they know that you're not going to sit there and drink. So you're not going to be tipping a dollar on every drink like other people. So you're like the lowest thing on their priority list. They hate the fact that you're there because they have to go back into the kitchen to get your food. And it is so fucking annoying. I was in Red Robin the other day. I'd ordered my food. I get there. The bartender lady is down playing with the satellite thing. Like trying to change the channel on the satellite thing. And she's like, I'll be with you in a minute. And she kept changing and couldn't make the channel change. So she had to go get another person to help her change the channel. And they stood there fucking around with this television for like a good 2 minutes before she finally turned around and was just like going like, oh, can I help you? And I was just like, I had a call in order. Okay, what's your name?
What you do, I've got a solution for you. And I'm not a dick myself,
me finish my story. Right?
Well, no, yeah, you're going to finish your story after I give you this advice. Mm-hmm.
What's the advice?
You can finish your story.
What's the advice?
So what you do is, and I only know this from dicks that I know because I'm not one, but you walk in, right? Mm-hmm. And how much ever tip you were going to give, you know, make it a pretty good one, you know, but slap it down on the bar and say, here's your tip.
Right.
But you're not getting... The amount of tip that you get is commensurate to the level of service that I get.
You completely don't understand the whole concept of takeout, do you?
Well,
I have never tipped more than a dollar on takeout in my life just because you didn't bring anything to my table. You didn't fill my drinks. You didn't like take my order. You just walked to the kitchen and got my food and took my money. And the only reason that you did that was because you won't allow me back there to pick it up myself. So it's like I really... You're annoying to me.
So what was the rest of your story?
No, so she takes, you know, my money immediately, right? She rings it up and cashes me out immediately and then starts cleaning stuff at the bar for another 2 or 3 minutes before she ever decides that she's going to go back to the kitchen to see if my food is there.
Well, maybe she knew it wasn't ready.
And then it took forever. No, because I had to drive to get there. I knew it was ready. But it was just kind of like one of those things. It's like you can't complain up front because... They disappear to go get your food. So I don't want them to spit in my food or do anything to my food, right? So,
well, here's another solution for that. Go in one time and sit at the bar and actually sit there and then tip that person really well and get them to like you. And then the next time you go in, even though you're getting takeout, they'll like you.
No, here's an idea, Adam. Here's an idea. Why don't the penny-pinching motherfuckers that own Red Robin have, the hostess handle the takeout order? She's just standing in the front of the restaurant. She's not getting paid $2.01 an hour. She's getting paid actual minimum wage, so she doesn't work for tips. She's just standing there in the front of the restaurant. She's not doing got jack shit. She could do that. Because while I'm standing there and this bartender's getting all pissy with me, right, there's a hostess standing up front that just sitting there like cleaning menus off and stuff and doing busy work to keep herself from like shooting herself in the brain because she's bored. Or here's another item. Hire a brand new person just to handle takeout thing, because you know what? A lot of people order takeout and we're not taking up room in your restaurant. We're not costing you electricity. We're still paying full price for your food. So for God's sakes, just give us a stupid $4 or $5, whatever fuck minimum wage is. What, $6 an hour? I don't even know what.
No, I think it's $7 or $8 now.
All right, fine. $10 an hour. I don't care. Just put in a goddamn, especially during dinner time, put in an employee to handle it.
I don't think that always solves the problem, because at Outback Steakhouse, now I don't know if they have a dedicated person for takeout or not, but they have a dedicated area. Like you have to pull up to a certain area, a certain door. You don't go in the front door. You go in this side door. It says takeout, you know, and they're supposed to bring it out to your car, theoretically.
Yes.
But you will go to Outback and you will sit there and they don't even know you're there. Half the time, the person who is supposed to be standing at this takeout area is not even in that area. They're like somewhere else doing something else.
See, that's because you got some stupid manager that's just like, oh, we can't have one person there. And they make them do other shit.
I mean, one time I pulled up and I finally called him on my cell phone and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting in my car, but no one has come up, you know. I mean, I've never had good experience.
But that's it's steadily declined over the years. I've told this story before, I'm sure, but I was in Best Buy the week before Christmas one year. So it was the week before Christmas. The place was packed. I mean, absolutely packed with people.
And all through the house.
And I got there probably about 20 minutes before they were closing.
Not a creature was stirring.
No, but it was packed. You have to understand, this entire Best Buy was packed. You couldn't find a place to park. And when you got inside, it was just wall-to-wall people in there. And then 20 minutes later, they come over the speakers, attention Best Buy customers, make your final selection and head to the registers now. We're closing. It's like, seriously? This is like Christmas time. You couldn't afford to pay your little minimum wage employees one more hour in order to make another couple of hundred sales? It's like you had a packed store of people trying to buy things, half of whom just got up and walked out because you said you're closing, that you could have sold something to them. It's just like this whole penny-wise, pound foolish shit is just really annoying me. Anyway, I'm angry now. Now I sound like Wes Stone. I'm angry.
I know you should write an angry letter. I do have something that will make you happy, because Walmart is going to give you very good service this year for Christmas. If you can't afford your present right now, we have now added back layaway.
Well, so has Kmart.
So you can, well, Walmart did it first, then Kmart.
You're right.
Kmart just, followed lead there. Mm-hmm. But so if you're having credit issues and you don't have a credit card and you want to get that iPad and get it stocked away for mama, you can do it now and pay slowly over the next few weeks and then get it for Christmas. So that's just all I have to say about that. So you can be happy about that, and now you're in a good mood.
I never shop at Walmart, though.
I wanted to give everyone an update on my World of Warcraft situation. I know that was in technology last week, but it's going to be here now.
Excellent.
So I decided, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do World of Warcraft. I'm going to, whatever. So yesterday I was going to install the client, but I was at work. And I was at work, and I was going to do the whole remote in, because remember, we had that whole discussion about live mesh and everything.
That's right.
Well, I try to connect to my computer, and it says, live mesh is not running on the other machine. I'm like, what? I thought it was always running. I haven't turned the computer off. What the fuck happened to it? There's no live mesh running. So then I came home at lunch with the intent of doing it, and I got to doing something else, and I went back to work, and I got back to work, and I was like, fuck. I completely forgot to start the thing. So to start Mesh. So I didn't do it yesterday. So today, or last night, I made sure Mesh was running. I don't know how it got stopped, but anyway, I made sure it got to running, and I started World of Warcraft. Well, I started Live Mesh last night, and then at work today, I logged in and started. Actually, I did it before I left. It doesn't matter. I did it at lunch. So, because I want to.
This is sounding very complicated. It's like,
oh, gosh. So, well,
I snuck into the house. And I installed Mesh onto the computer. And then I went to the office and I logged in via Mesh, but I used two different ropes to suspend myself from the ceiling so I didn't leave footprints behind.
Well, that's kind of what this room looks like. But anyway, so I started it installing, and I kept getting this stupid error message that says installer could timed out or some shit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Installer timed out. I kept getting this message over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I Googled it, and I found all this stuff from like 2 years ago where people were having the same error. I'm like, really? They haven't fixed this problem in 2 years? And so I couldn't even tell you what I did, except that I went in and I ran some executable from some folder within the World of Warcraft thing that finished something. And then I went back and started it, and then magically it started working. I don't know exactly what I did, but it was just one of those things where you click around and something works. But then it was going so slow. Literally, I think I was getting about a kilobyte a minute or something. That's what it seemed like. I mean, it was just dragging. And it's like a 10 gigabyte download. So I was like, okay, and I was actually at home because this was at lunchtime. So I was like, okay, my computer was on wireless. I only have one Ethernet cord currently running into my studio area, which is where the computer is. So I had to unhook it from the other computer, and I thought, I'm going to hook it into this one. Then it wasn't using the wired internet. So then I had to disable, because for some reason that computer doesn't like to, it gets confused when you have wired on and wireless, and it uses the wireless by default for some reason. So I had to disable the wireless anyway. So finally, I got it all downloading, and that was like 11 hours ago.
Yes.
I think I'm like 50% there.
Yes.
So, but I did want to say that, and I ranted to you earlier that I hate it that when you purchase an internet plan, they say, oh, you're going to get 30 megabits and all this kind of stuff. And what they mean is for like the first 2 seconds, you're going to get like 30 megabits. The rest of the time, you're going to be lucky if you get the same speed as you get on like a ISD, whatever those lines are called, that businesses use.
Yes.
One of those. Thank you. Like one or something. Right, a half. But,
yeah, nobody uses T1s anymore because they're too slow. Nowadays, people use OC6s and OC8s.
But regardless, it's taking forever. But I'm really happy. I put one comment about that on Google Plus, and I have had like probably 8 or 10 comments from people, some of which I have never met in my life, or I don't know, who've said, here's my real ID. Add me. I would love to play with you. So all these people are being so nice. I had a guy from Korea add me to his circles. He knows I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But he was really nice.
It's amazing.
I don't know how he even found me because he doesn't have any of the same friends as me either.
Maybe he. You know what? The thing, while we're talking about Google Plus here really quickly, will you please fill out your fucking profile? It's like I go there and it's like all it says about is mail. It doesn't say where you live. It doesn't say
anything. I know, I hate that.
Will you just go
people.
And fill out your goddamn profile?
I'm busy.
Not just you, Adam Burns, but anyone who's listening to this, who's on Google Plus, who hasn't filled out your profile. You don't have to put in your home address or anything like that. For God's sakes, will you just fill out some of it so that like when people add us, we like have some idea of who these people are. Anyway.
Well, I still say when someone adds me to their circles, they should send me a little message telling me, hi, how are you? And let me know a brief little thing about them that they like walks on the beach.
You want a naked picture of them.
No, I don't have to have all that. I kind of want to know where they know me from, you know, so I know how to act. Do you know me from a podcast or do you know me from like work or like where do you know me from? That is not just the catch-all, let's stop this topic.
No, you were talking about World of Warcraft. That was a Murloc.
Oh, I see. Whatever. Whatever. But anyway, I have been overjoyed with the outcry, the outpouring of good tidings from World of Warcraft players.
Oh, that's just because the haters haven't posted yet. The haters are all, you know, the haters are all over on Twitter.
Oh, I see.
Which, you know, I don't even want to say that because then and get into that whole bullshit argument. But I'm sorry. It just seems to me the more and more that I go back and look at Twitter occasionally, it's all it is. It's just people being absolute assholes to each other because they can only do it in 140 characters. So it's just, I don't know, just it's a very...
Is it easier to be an asshole in 140 characters than it is to be nice?
Well, it's easier to be misunderstood in 140 characters, so then people, you know, respond to people as though they were assholes. Anyway, it's not important. Speaking of things that are not asshole-related, I am leaving. I'm going to Florida, so I'm going to be down in Florida for the Thanksgiving holiday. The holiday of giving thanks. I will be gone. So next Thursday evening when we normally record, I will be in Florida.
Oh, we didn't discuss that. So are we not doing a show next week?
No, we cannot do a show next week.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to be doing nothing for Thanksgiving. I will be sitting here by myself because my family, my parents, and my grandma will all be in South Arkansas.
Right.
But because I work for the slave driver of the South.
Which now accepts layaway.
Which now accepts layaway. I have to work the day after Thanksgiving. And it's just because I ran out of vacation days because they don't give me enough.
Right.
And it was just, they're not having Thanksgiving dinner at 6. It takes like 4.5 hours to get down there. I have to work Wednesday as well. So that means I would have to drive down either late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning and drive right back after we eat.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I'm not driving 9 hours for a piece of dry turkey.
I don't blame you.
So I'm going to be here all by myself, probably playing World of Warcraft.
I'm going to be in Florida and down at my parents' house. And then right after Thanksgiving, the Plant City Community Theater just got a new building like last year or just right before last year. And it's an old converted feed store and the flooring in there is all horrible. So I had volunteered that if they got the materials, if they got the tile donated to them or whatever, that I would come in and tile the floor for them. I would actually do the tiling. So we will.
Wait.
Yes.
So it's a feed store. So
no,
let me ask you this question.
It used to be a feed store.
Do they have to go outside and climb up the pole outside to use the phone too?
This is an old building that they bought, which they've now converted into their theater.
Did you get that reference, by the way?
Yes, it was a Green Acres reference.
Okay, good.
You know, there's a town in Florida called Green Acres right outside of Plant City. Anyway, the point is so I'm going to be tiling their floor. Hopefully, Guru Nudie and Alden will be coming over to help me do it. So,
man, and I bet Alden will get hot and take off his shirt and everything, and I won't be there to see him all muscly and shirtless because I know he's in good shape now. I mean, he probably was always in good shape, but I know he's got to be in good shape now,
implying that he was never in good shape.
I have never seen him without his shirt on, so I could not say, but he's hot to me, regardless.
I don't think I've ever seen him without his shirt on.
So you're tiling?
Yeah, okay. Tiling the community theater. So.
Well, I can't see you doing stuff like that for some reason. I mean, not that you seem girly, but I just don't see you do. Although, when you did the other iteration of Dubious Intent, I seem to recall that you built a wall or something at your old house.
Yes.
So I guess you are kind of handy.
I built a deck at my old house. I rebuilt the exterior wall on the back of the house and then covered it in tile mimicked to look like the concrete block in the rest of the house so you couldn't tell. And then I also, you know, retiled most of the house there. So
did you sell that house ever?
Yeah, finally we did. But
okay.
Last time. So, all right. So, community theaters are full of people that do dramatic plays.
Oh, Jesus. Forget it. We will never segue. We will never segue. Neither one of us are Tom Merritt, I guess. We will not be good segueers.
Perhaps
if that's
I am Tom Merritt and you're just not being a very good Sarah Lane.
You draw attention to segues
Perhaps
every
you're
time.
Not being a very good Sarah Lane because she always plays along with it.
Wow. Well, I don't even know how to talk about this because without revealing things, and I don't want to reveal people's names. But okay, here's what happened today. I've been getting these messages from this person that I don't know.
Maybe we should give him a name, and then you won't know. So we'll just call him.
What was that?
I said we'll just call him.
Okay. Well, that person has been messaging me, and he apparently is dating a friend of mine.
Oh, so he's been dating.
Yes. And so he's dating a friend of mine, and I had heard the last time I talked to my friend, I knew that he had dated this person, had gone on like a date with this person, but I didn't know anything. So I get this message today, And this guy has acted like he knows me. He's like, "Oh, hey, how have you been?
Wait, are you talking about
So I'm going to say Larry is the 18-year-old.
Yes.
Okay. And Bob is my friend.
Okay. Bob, okay, your friend. Say that.
So Larry, I knew that Bob and Larry had gone out on a date.
Yes.
But Bob is pretty private and he doesn't always tell me, you know, everything about what he does. So I've been getting these messages from Larry all of a sudden from like the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And the other day he goes, "Oh, you haven't talked to Bob and I in ages." And I'm like, "I don't even know you. What do you mean I haven't talked to you and Bob in ages? Who are you?" And then so he messages me today and he says, "If I email you and ask you some questions about Bob, could you just keep it between you and I?"
Right, because you know you're best friends now.
And I was like, "Okay, sure." Actually, he wanted to ask me some questions. So he emailed and said, "You know, Bob has this friend that comes over and I don't think she likes me. And, you know, what do you think about her?" And then he goes, "And do you think Bob is a cheater? Do you think he would cheat on me?" And this is, okay, Larry is an 18-year-old, you know, so he's not to disrespect 18-year-olds, but those young gays, you know, they tend to be.
Anyway. You know, the worst part about sleeping with an 18-year-old is disposing of the body. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway. He emails me and he says all that stuff and he implies that they're living together. I mean, by what I'm reading, it sounds like they're living together.
Right.
So I call and this is a friend in Dallas. So anyway, I tell him, you know, "I don't know this girl and I don't know whether she likes you or not. Sorry, I don't know her."
Right.
And I don't see Bob as a cheater, but he's a pretty private person. I couldn't really tell you.
Of course, there was that one time that he fucked a...
right, exactly. So I text messaged Maddie because he also knows Bob. Mm-hmm. And he go and I'm like telling him all this stuff and he calls me on the phone and I'm like, "Did you know Bob's been dating this person for like 8 months and we don't even know this person and who is this?" And I'm telling him all this and he's like, "Well, I'm just gonna text message Bob." Uh-oh. Well, he text messaged Bob.
And and another thing.
Right. So Bob is a very brash individual.
Yes. Who's
very
not
manly man, but brash at the same time.
Who is not 18.
He gets mad at Larry and evidently text messages Larry and says they are done. They are finished and don't ever contact him again.
Oh, you don't want to break up with an 18-year-old. That's just drama waiting to happen.
Then I get an email from Larry, okay, saying, let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
Bazinga.
So this says, it says from Larry.
Yes.
Because that's who it's from. Oh, shoot, I can't find it. Anyway, basically he says that he hates my guts and I ruined his life and I promised him I would not talk to Bob and his heart is broken.
Broken.
Because he is in love with Bob. So this was my drama today. First of all, I don't know the guy. And he acts like for the past like week that we are best buddies. Then, and I feel bad because I told him I wouldn't tell Bob, but I didn't. I called Maddie and said, "Do you know this person and that they've been dating for?"
It was Maddie that did it. It was all Maddie's fault.
It was not my fault. That's all I have to say. So that was my drama today with an 18-year-old named Larry.
Oh my God! See, now Bob should have talked to me because I could have, you know, told him the proper way to break up with an 18. See, if you're going to break up with an 18-year-old, you have to convince that you have to make them break up with you, basically.
Because sometimes they're pretty clingy.
I know, but I'm just saying you have to make them break up with you because you can't. I got nothing. My God. It's like it never plays the same part of the song, does it? You know what? Screw that.
Well, I think you took off, and I love it how you just take over the sound. Like, if you don't like one that I've chosen, just magically you start using your own.
Damn right.
Love that.
You are damn right.
I do the work until it doesn't suit you, and then...
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you want me to do the work, you just do it half-assed, and then I have to, like, come in and, like, fix it. Wait, no, I'm going to find this here. I'm going to find this on Google Plus. I mean, on the new Google Music, and then I'm going to play it off there. So let's see. Here's the Technologic. All right, so let's see if it sounds better off of there. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, edit, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick,
it sounds kind of techno.
Right, but it hasn't gotten to the part where it starts playing music yet. Lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, pick it, work it, come on, like, get to the thing.
We could talk about technology and then it'll get to the music at the end. Watch it, turn it, leave it, stop,
format it. Technologic. Right. See, I want it to pick up right after this. Technologic. Right here. Right.
Well, you know what they make?
What?
You know what they make?
What do they make?
This program called Audacity.
I know, but you know, see, I haven't bought this. Here, I'm going to do it right now. Is that the first thing on our list?
It can be.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So Google Music launched the other day, which I've had Google Music for a while. It's been in beta and they haven't had a store. So it's only been a online locker up to this point, which is really nice to be able to, cause I think our entire music library here is like about 18 gigs. So it's kind of nice to just be able to throw that up in the cloud and then have it anywhere. So like when I was in Connecticut, I could get to it just by logging in on a browser, right? Anywhere that I can log into Google, I have access to my entire music collection. So I got it on my phone. I got it on my, any computer that I log into, even if it's not my computer, I can grab a song or a playlist or, you know, make a playlist and play music, which is nice, right?
So yeah, I've been thinking, I haven't used it at all. And I didn't know if it was still just a select beta, because when they first launched it, you had to get an invite.
Right,
you had
to get an invite for it. Which is now, as of yesterday, the 16th, they basically, or was it the 15th? Anyway, as of yesterday.
It was Wednesday,
so it would be the 16th. Okay, so the 16th. Excuse me. They basically removed the beta restriction, so now it's open to everyone. And they've also added in a store. So it's a music store on top of, you know, the cloud storage thing. So just like Amazon's MP3 thing works, like if you buy an MP3 from Amazon, it automatically gets put into your cloud storage. You can also download it to your computer at the same time or download it wherever you are. But it gets put into the cloud at the same time, so you always have it. The differences between Amazon and Google are Amazon has a 5 gig limit to the amount of free stuff you can put up there. If you buy anything from them over $10 during the year, they'll up that to 20 gigs. So you got about 20 gigs of space on Amazon, but you're going to have to pay that $20 a year or that $10 a year for that, for the 20 gigs. Google Music is free. So you can store up to 22,000 songs. It doesn't matter.
I thought it was 25,000.
It could be. But I think it's 22, somewhere between 22 and 25,000 songs. And it doesn't matter the size of them. A couple of other differences, like when you download a track on Amazon, it's a 256 MP3 or 256K MP3. The ones on Google Plus are 320K MP3s. Just to give you an idea, like when you download a track from iTunes, that's a 256 AAC file. And it's actually really nice, but I think the real benefits of Google Music, where they kind of like diverged from the other two, from iTunes and Amazon, is that it's tied into Google Plus. So when you buy a song or buy an album on Google Music, you can, at the point of purchase, you can share it on your Google Plus, and you can share it with any of your circles or all of your circles, and anyone who you've shared that with can play one time all of the entire song. So if I bought the Glee Christmas album, right, and I shared that on Google Plus, then anyone that follows me on Google Plus could actually play the entire Glee Christmas album one time.
So what you're saying is,
yes,
if I purchased the Justin Bieber Christmas album,
yes,
with the duet with him and Mariah Carey,
yes,
All I Want for Christmas Is You,
yes,
that I could share All I Want for Christmas Is You,
yes,
with all of my friends.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic.
That is, isn't it? And it's unlike the other audio that you share on Google Plus, it actually has an embedded player right inside of it. So I don't know. I shared one song the other day, the Dawson's Creek song, in my stream. So you can kind of see that was like right after Google Music launched.
I don't think I ever see your stream. Do you have some circle that just excludes me and
no,
you like
I
put
make
stuff
public,
in there?
All of my posts are public. Anyway, so it's a really kind of, I'm not a big music person. I don't do a lot of music stuff. Where I'm really excited about Google Music is for people like Jonathan Colton or Flat 29 or the Sleep, you know, independent groups that make music that aren't, that don't have labels, because what Google Music has allowed them to do is the same thing, like I'm an Android developer, right? So I pay a $25 fee to be an Android developer. It's a one-time fee so they can set me up for credit card processing. So any independent group or podcast or anyone who owns the copyright to their own stuff, right? So if you and I did a dramatic reading of The Night Before Christmas and we wanted to sell it, right, we could register as an independent artist. We can create our own artist page and we can set whatever price we want for that track and sell it on the Google Music store. And then I think they keep like 25% or 25 or 30%.
So it's similar to Amazon, because you can do something like that with, well, maybe not for music,
yeah,
but
no,
you can do that for writing.
Yeah, right, for writing. But independent music artists don't really have an elegant way or an easy way to do that on either iTunes or Amazon. You can do it, but it's a lot more involved than just a $25 fee and putting it up. Well, so I think it's really interesting for people like Flat 29 or Jonathan Colton or The Sleep, as I said, because these are people who basically have their audiences by word of mouth, right? And so when you add in that Google Plus thing, now that actually makes it really, really nice, because I could buy a Flat 29 song and then share it, and then people who'd never heard of them would, oh, what's this? And they could listen to it and they can buy it right from there, you know, for 99 cents or whatever.
So yeah, and I know Amazon is similar, but I was thinking this would be good. I'm also not even though I'm a musician, which people always find it amusing that I don't hardly ever listen to music, but I love to play music. I am finding that sometimes listening to a podcast at work, because I'm not enjoying my job all that much right now anyway, listening to a podcast at work, I will have a tendency to focus on that podcast and do absolutely no work.
Right.
And like an hour will go by and I'll realize I sat there and stared at the same email for like an hour because I was listening to a podcast instead. Yeah. And I'm trying to get back good at my trumpet. So I thought, you know, I could upload all of my trumpet CDs that I've got, all my trumpet music.
Absolutely.
And I could listen to trumpet music while I'm working. And then it's kind of background music. And then I'm not thinking about what somebody's saying,
correct,
you know, because it's all instrumental. So I may try it out, although I hear it can take quite some time, depending on how much you're uploading, to actually do that.
The initial upload of 18 gigs of music on my end, you know, was time consuming. It probably took it like 2 or 3 days. But I was going on a trip, so I did it while I was gone, so that it just sat there and ran. That's a one-time pain in the ass, right? And you don't have to... you can tell it what folders to upload. You can tell it, you know, what folders to exclude. You can choose what kind of things you want it to upload, yada, yada, yada. So what I did was I basically had it upload stuff via playlist so that the stuff that I more regularly listen to was the first stuff uploaded. So was able to access, you know, most of the stuff I listened to really early on. And then it was just basically filling in the rest of the catalog.
The other thing is that I have never actually ripped any of my CDs.
Ah.
So I know it's 2011, yes. But I have never, because I'm not a huge music person. Right. So I never ripped any of my CDs. Right. You know, I did not realize this, but apparently most music you can listen to on YouTube. So the other day I spent like 2 hours because I was having a Mariah Carey day. I really wanted to listen to Mariah Carey. And I would just search for a Mariah Carey song on YouTube, and there it would be.
Yes.
The video and everything.
Yes.
Listen to the whole thing.
You seem like that guy that you played on our show that did the Mariah Carey cover. See, he couldn't upload his stuff to Google Music because he doesn't have the copyright on it. But for artists that make their own stuff, and it doesn't have to be music. It can be any kind of audio stuff. Like, for instance, this you'll like this as far as segues go. You know, I just got a new I just got a new Motorola Zoom, right? An Android tablet. And if I were to write a song about it, like how much I loved it, I could upload it to Google Music and sell it for, you know, all right, like let's say that I was a white girl, like a white young 20-year-old, maybe 18 to 20-year-old girl who really, really was jazzed about my Windows Phone 7. And me and three of my friends, who are also white, I have to stress this, white, lily white girls from like 18 to 20, and we all decided to write a rap song about our Windows Phone and how much we loved it. Then we could, oh, why looky here. Here's a video of just that very thing. Now, you're going to love this, but if they wanted to upload this to Google Music, they could do so, and then you could also enjoy this fabulous song.
Hi, everybody on the internet. This is our rap about how much we love the Windows Phone. This is E-Town, Elise, hello, and Emily.
Hey.
And I want to say thank you to Starchild 201.
Right, make sure you got that. That was E-Town, Elise, and Emily.
Hi, everybody on the internet. This is our rap about how much we love the Windows Phone. This is E-Town, Elise,
hello,
and Emily.
Hey.
E-Town. That's E-Town. Have I pointed out yet that E-Town is a lily white 20-something girl with bleach blonde hair?
That's okay.
All right.
She can be E-Town.
I want to say thank you to Starchild 201, holla. Odyssey, HD7.
Holla.
Holla.
Yeah, that would be her saying holla, by the way.
Holla,
that would be E-Town.
C3 Tech, Yamichi, holla, and Sean Wildermuth.
Esther.
For your inspiring lyrics that you sent to me at Moby Chick on Twitter. So hopefully you will like our ride.
Right, right. If you want to follow her, yeah, you could go to follow Moby Chick.
Girl, I'm about to burn up this club.
Oh, right, they're about to get jiggy
ready
with it.
Here we go.
Born ready.
Are you ready for this? Greatest song ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm down, dog.
Yeah, yeah, buddy. Windows Phone on top. Meetings all day. Gotta have my phone nonstop. Got Excel.
Check.
And OneNote.
Check.
How about Xbox Live and my stock quote?
Yes.
Is the screen pink?
What?
Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Now, shh. Turn the screen live.
Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside. Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside. Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside. Windows, Windows, Windows.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside. Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside. Sleek on the outside.
Wait, is Bill Gates in the background, like making gang symbols or anything?
Whoa. Sleek on the outside, Microsoft inside, Windows Mango. Xbox Live on the go.
All they need is Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates in the background, like, you know, doing some kind of, like, I don't even know what a gang symbol is, but, you know, doing some gang symbols, you know.
I will post a link to this video on our Google Plus page. So if you go to our Google Plus page, you can see a link to this video, and you too can enjoy E-Town in the stylings of her friends. But you know, they could upload that to Google Music, because yeah, I don't know if you knew or not, but it's sleek on the inside, Windows on, no, sleek on the outside, Windows on the inside.
I have considered getting a Windows Phone for my next phone because I am more comfortable with the programming environments of Windows, and I do a lot of more Windowsy stuff at work. So I've thought, you know, if they catch a little bit more market share, I might consider looking at one of those because the interface is nice looking, but that's not on our list. So how are you liking your new tablet, by the way? Because you said that you could... Actually, how is the integration? Is there integration between... Or is it Google Music and your tablet at all? Like an app or whatever?
Oh, yeah. There's or a Google is Music it, app, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see...
Because I saw that you put a post on Google Plus today or yesterday. I can't remember. I was on your tablet.
That's right.
And I don't know why you said, oh, no, he didn't.
That was me buying it. Like,
oh, okay. So it was inconsequential. Because everyone thought that it was because I was wearing clothes.
No. And so, like, see, that's the Google Music right there. So those are all my albums.
There was Mariah Carey.
Where?
All I Want for Christmas album.
No, that's
Britney. It's her in a Santa outfit.
I don't know how you saw that. Yes.
Yep, right there.
All I Want for Christmas.
Yep.
Mariah Carey. So, yeah, I could. That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Yep.
So that's that. I'm not even plugged in. That's just going through the microphone. But no, I really kind of like the tab. I've only had it for, less than a day or just a little over a day. But yeah, no, I really like it. What happened was the Kindle Fire was released yesterday. And I saw a demo of it. And I was just kind of like, you know what? That's kind of nice. I kind of like that because I do a lot of stuff through Amazon. You know, I use the Amazon video stuff, and I buy my MP3s from Amazon because Google didn't have a store at that time. And so I was like, you know what? $199 is not a bad price, and you know, I could get one and blah blah blah. But then I got to looking at it, and the Zoom has just lowered their price at Target to $399. So I was like, you know what? It's like $200 more, but it's got everything. And you know, it's 32 gig. It's got a SD slot. It's got an HDMI out. You know, it's full Android. It's slated to get Ice Cream Sandwich as one of the first devices to get it. So I just kind of, you know, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just get it. So.
And for those that are non-techie, that doesn't mean that your tablet is going to eat an ice cream sandwich,
yes.
By the way.
Yes, it does.
That means it is a version of the Android operating system specifically for tablets, correct? That is the newest and greatest.
No, it is not specifically for tablets. Matter of fact, what's on it now was specifically for tablets.
Oh, right. Ice cream sandwich is the one that's for both.
Yes, the ice cream sandwich is the one that will unify the two platforms. Because things work a little bit differently on the tablet than they do on the phone.
The Kindle Fire is $250, by the way.
No, the Kindle Fire is $199, isn't it?
No, it's $250.
Regardless, this one was $399. So it was a better deal for me. And
I haven't tried either one of them, but I think as an Android developer, because I don't know how locked down Amazon is going to keep the Kindle Fire, so I don't even know if your apps would be able to be purchased on, you know, to put on the Fire or not. So you probably want something that's the you know, native version of Android versus the skinned version that Amazon is doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Fire's already been rooted. So you could put just stock Android on it if you wanted to. That goes back into that whole fragmentation thing. And honestly, Android, you know, is an Android, right? So in order for an app to be written for Android, so like Amazon has their own app store and stuff, but in order for apps to run on that Fire, they still have to follow the Android SDK. So it's not like they can diverge too far away from Android or else none of the apps would run. And then everyone would be like, well, you know, the Kindle Fire doesn't have any apps running for it. So they have to stay in the Android ecosystem. They have to stay current with Android in order for apps to be available to run on it. So,
yeah, I don't know what all the differences are. And like, I don't know if like for Amazon, if you would have to register your app or submit your app to their store separately.
Yes.
I know people can root it. I know people can root it, but a lot of people won't.
Right. But okay. Yes, you can natively get to the Amazon App Store, which means that as a developer, I would have to submit my app to Amazon. I have to pay them $100 a year to be a developer, and I have to submit my app separately to them outside of the Google Marketplace. However, all Android devices have a setting in them that allows them to sideload applications, which is something that iOS devices don't have. But
right.
On ours, we can basically say, you know, install an APK from anywhere. So by having that on there, that means you can load the regular Google Marketplace. You can download the APK for the regular Google Marketplace and install it on your phone, on your Fire, and then you have the entire Android Marketplace on your Fire. So is it because you can still sideload applications, you can, you know, run anything. Granted, they're not going to run anything past Gingerbread, which is what it's running on under the hood. It's basically Android 2.3.
I just think if someone's buying a Fire, that they're probably less knowledgeable, less techie.
Right.
And they might not be the type of people who would sideload or root or whatever. So I was just saying, as a developer, you know, maybe you would want to focus on something that, at least for your development, you know, because I don't know. I could be wrong. I know you want it to be available as many places as possible. I'm just thinking the Fire is not going to be the biggest source of downloads of people's Android apps.
No, and I'll tell you what the Fire is really, really good at. The Fire is really, really good if you do a lot of stuff with Amazon. So if you use Amazon Video, if you use Amazon Music, one of the really nice things about, let's say, renting a movie through YouTube, which I don't know if you knew that you can rent movies through.
I've heard that. I haven't done it.
Right, so one of the really nice things about renting a movie through YouTube is that you can download the movie locally so that you're not having to play it out of the cloud. So if I was, like, I have to fly to Boston in a couple of weeks, right? So I can rent movies on YouTube for a couple of dollars. I can download them to my tablet. And then as I'm flying in the plane, I can watch those movies. And I don't have to have an internet connection to do it, right? So that's really nice from there. But if you, on Amazon, if you use Amazon Video, you can't download those movies locally except on a Fire. So the Kindle Fire is the only device right now that will allow you to download the Amazon movie or the Amazon video thing locally. If you have a TiVo or something, you can load it to it, and you can load it to your computer in a really weird kind of a side-loaded thing that's DRM'd and whatnot.
Right.
But you can't just throw it on a tablet and watch it, which is roughly equivalent to, you know, iTunes, right? I mean, you can rent a movie through iTunes, you can watch it on your iPad, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
How did this turn into a Fire discussion again when...
Because it just came out.
I guess you should have bought the Fire instead of the Zoom.
But you know what? I really wanted the Zoom. I didn't want the Fire. I think I will eventually will get the Fire at work just because... You know, part of developing web stuff for a company is to make sure that it works on anything that people out in the field might be trying to get to it on.
Right.
So, you know, salespeople might be more inclined to have a Kindle Fire than they would, say, a Zoom or an iPad. So,
you know they're going to have an iPad. Come on.
But we have iPads in the office already. We don't have an Android tablet. So.
Well, so when you've had a few more days to play with the Zoom, you can give us an update on how it's going. One question though, real quick before we move on. How responsive is it? Because I hear some Android tablets are kind of laggy when it comes to scrolling and stuff like that. Have you noticed that at all, or do you think it's really responsive?
No, I haven't. I have not noticed any kind of lag on it. Now granted, I don't run a lot of apps, so because I'm a programmer, I'm really nervous about how machines work. So I don't like things running in the background. But
I'm more talking about even the cover flow stuff when you're just flipping through and like how quickly pages turn and stuff like that. If you're reading a book and things of that nature, the UI.
Yeah. So like here's Feedly, right? I don't know. Can you see? I don't know.
Kind of. Yeah.
So like, say I'm flipping. There's the next page. Takes a second for the pictures to come up, but the text is all
okay. So it is a little bit slower than the iPad.
Well, I don't know. This is that application. This is like a springboard application for Android. So what you're seeing, because you can't see the text that's sliding across here, you're seeing the pictures popping in later, but the text slides across immediately. But that's because this is using RSS feeds to go pull in the pictures. So it's going to take, you know, that's not the tablet lagging. That's, you know, the internet or whatever. No, it's very snappy. It's a dual core. It's a dual, I want to say gigahertz processors in here. 10-inch screen. It's very snappy. I don't have, you know, it's everything I'm doing on it is fine.
Well, cool.
The only thing I don't like about it is the Google Plus app.
I'm not a huge Apple fanboy, but nothing else was out when I purchased the iPad, and now that's what I've got, and I don't see a need to buy more tablets because I've already got one. So,
I think that you should buy another.
No. I'm not saying that you're saying that, but, you know, I mean, I know all these technology people that we watch, they just buy everything, but I know that's their job as well. And they are, some of them are rich. So,
yeah, no, to me, it's, I don't like the Google Plus app on the tablet. I love it on the phone. I don't like it on the tablet because honestly, the tablet's big enough to just give me a full browser on it. So,
you can go to the web page as well.
When you
go
to the web page, it redirects you to the mobile. To the mobile.
Well, you can change that though, right?
I haven't found out where yet.
They usually have a link on the web page that says load full version or something.
Let's see. New find on page.
Usually towards the bottom.
Scroll. See, but that's just it. It doesn't have a bottom.
Well, I haven't looked at that one, but a lot of web pages that default to mobile have a link somewhere.
Oh, wait. I see it. Down at the very, very bottom. View in mobile or desktop. Right. So now I'm going to desktop.
Yep.
Mode. Oh, much better. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So much better.
Now, what I don't know is if you can keep it defaulting to that. It may go to mobile every time, and then you have to go click on that link.
It's got a question mark FD equals 1 at the end of it, so I'm just going to bookmark that.
Oh, okay.
And then see if that flips it, because that would be full desktop or something, probably. FD equals 1. Yeah, so much better. Oh, that's much nicer.
I helped you with something.
Hey, God, look, Adam Burns is hanging out with one person right now.
I am.
I should join that hangout. Let's see. The news.
Oh, and you'll be happy because we have only two news stories this evening. I limited myself just for you, and now my news story is taking forever to pull up. Doctors say, and this is because we have been talking about sleeping. This is the reason I picked this story. But doctors say more people are paying the price for easy communications access with a... Wait, why did you just join again?
Oh, I joined on my tablet.
Oh.
Hey.
Wow, your tablet is really noisy.
Yeah, it is. I should probably leave.
So good thing I'm not keeping that recording. So because we've been talking about texting, doctors say more people are paying the price for easy communications access with a disorder they call sleep texting.
Sleep texting.
Yes. I twist and turn for at least 2 or 3 hours before I actually fall asleep, said 16-year-old Elizabeth Hammond.
Damn it. Can you say that one more time? Can you say sleep texting one more time?
Sleep texting. Yes. Why, yes. When Hammond finally falls asleep, the unexpected happens. Some people may experience night terrors, sleepwalking, and even sleep eating. But for Hammond, who carries her cell phone everywhere, it's sleep texting. She doesn't realize she's sending text messages while she's sleeping until the next morning, thanks to her friends. Uh-huh. You sent me a text message at 3 a.m, and I didn't know what you meant by it, she said. Her mother, Betty, is equally stunned. She was telling me how she had texted somebody that said, close her door, Betty Hammond said. It seems unbelievable, but the proof is captured on the phone. Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so I wonder if this is a real syndrome or if people are texting things that they don't, that they're embarrassed
it's like
about
they're
the next
drunk.
Day.
They're just drunk texting and, oh, I didn't even know I did that. I didn't know that I told you I wanted you to plow me last night.
Right.
I must have been asleep.
She's not going to say that to her mother, you know. Yeah. So anyway, it's just one of those things. I swear I didn't know I did that. So this next one I thought was just a little absurd. Why is my freaking internet moving so slow? Probably because I'm still downloading World of Warcraft. You told me it should be fine. I didn't stop it.
I told you it would be fine to stop it.
Yeah, but you said, oh, if it's going over Wi-Fi, it's probably... No. You said... Anyway, it doesn't matter what you said.
Right.
Animal rights group, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals...
PETA,
has set its sights on iconic video game character Mario for wearing fur in Nintendo's latest 3DS game, Super Mario 3D Land. Since the game launched Sunday, the organization has launched a scathing online campaign entitled Mario Kills Tanuki.
Hello,
in Nintendo's new...
Mario! Woohoo!
Yes.
Right. In Nintendo's new game, Mario sometimes dons the skin of a tanuki, which is a Japanese raccoon dog.
Yes.
Tanuki may be just a suit in the game, but in real life, tanuki are raccoon dogs who are skinned alive for their fur, PETA's site states. How did I know you were going to play that one? By wearing a tanuki, Mario is sending the message that it is okay to wear fur.
Jesus Christ.
To make their point, the site also features a disturbing video of real tanuki being abused by workers in the Japanese fur trade.
Awesome, because that is absolutely a one-to-one correlation. Pixels on a video game console directly correlate to real-life living, breathing mammals being slaughtered. Exactly. Yeah, I can totally see that.
And it's accompanied by an image of a bloodied Mario holding the head of a dead raccoon dog.
No, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
It says, for Nintendo, the raccoon suit isn't a fresh development. Mario first wore a tanuki in 1988 with the release of Super Mario Bros. 3. So...
Don't give me that. I don't get pissed. I don't want to talk about PETA.
I think it's funny.
People
have
too much fucking time in their hands.
Mario's been wearing that suit for a long time. I love Super Mario Brothers 3, actually. Alrighty. It is time for birthdays. Do you have the birthday song? All right. And I heard you use that on your other little show the other day.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So the first one, I'm going to play a little snippet of two different songs to try to help you get the gist of who this is.
Right.
So here's the first one.
Jaws. Theme to Jaws.
Okay, it is the theme to Jaws. That's the first one. And here's the next one.
That would be E.T.
It would be what?
E.T., right?
Nope. It's a TV show.
Sequest DSV?
Yes.
Wow, how did I pull that out of my ass? Okay, so Sequest DSV and Jaws. The thing that those two things have in common would be Roy Scheider.
You are correct, sir.
Yes.
And Roy Scheider, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, turned 79.
And he was also in a really horrible TV show about a helicopter once.
All right, so I like him. I like Sequest as well. It's kind of a Star Trek in the ocean.
You know what? Sequest DSV, if you have Netflix streaming, you owe it to yourself to go and watch a couple of episodes of Sequest DSV, which is, at this point, what? Almost 10 or 12 years old?
At least, yeah.
But it holds up really, really well. It's like, when you see the submarine, it's like everything there is a flat screen monitor. And this was back before we had flat screen monitors. But it's like they were all flat screen monitors and they were using like the internet to communicate with people. And back then it was like, you don't use the internet to make a video call. That's crazy talk. I mean, it's just like so many of the things that they were guessing that were going to happen, you know, it really, they were kind of spot on in a lot of them. So
yeah, it was. I really like that show. You know, the cute guy on there, the blonde, committed suicide.
Yeah, killed himself
after the show ended. Anyway, all right. Well, happy birthday, Roy. The next one I have two as well. This is an old show that he was on, and then there's a newer one. So you may know it after the first one, but here we go.
On your mark, get set, go, Dennis. You can do it. Come on, Dennis.
And that's not a theme song.
Up the ladder and down the chute. Here we go. Wait,
is this Double Dare? Is that Double Dare?
It is Double Dare.
So that's, the dude that has the germaphobe thing. Mark Summers?
It is Mark Summers.
Yes! Also, currently the host of...
this one.
Something. Oh, yeah. What is that show called on the Welcome Food Network? Unwrapped. Okay. Florida, there is a
special door. Yeah. That was Unwrapped Disney. But anyway, yes, Mark Summers turned 60.
Ah, yeah. He's like OCD or something. Like he's like a real neat freak, which is why it was funny that he was the host of Double Dare.
I don't know. All right. So here's the next one. And this is a movie, a song from a movie that this person starred in. Mm-hmm.
Greece?
No. This is a religious song.
Sister Act?
Sister Act, yes.
Okay, so Whoopi Goldberg.
It is Whoopi Goldberg, very good. Whoopi turned 56.
56 years old.
I always thought she was older than that. All right, here's our next one. And this is, well, I might give it away. I'm just going to play the song. You have to wait a minute before you'll recognize it.
I still don't recognize it.
It has a slow start. Sorry. You'll recognize it.
And this is from a movie?
No.
No, this is like the... It's a sporting event.
It's Fanfare for the Common Man.
Okay. So, the Olympics?
The composer.
The composer of it. I have no idea.
Okay, Aaron Copland.
Oh, yeah, of course. How could I not know that?
Would have been 111.
Oh, and on top of it, he's dead. Excellent.
Happy birthday. I love his music, though. Okay, here's the next one. TV show.
Ooh, the People's Court, right?
Yes.
So is it Doug Llewellyn or is it Judge Wapner?
It's Judge Wapner. Judge Joseph Wapner, I don't know if he's still alive. I know he was on Animal Planet for a while recently, like within the past 4 or 5
was
years.
Was he like holding court with animals?
Animal. It was called Animal Court. I kid you not.
Doug Llewellyn and I have no neck.
In fact, I think it might have been the same studio. They just brought animals in there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think he's still alive. And if he is, he turned 92.
92 for Judge Wapner.
All right, one more celebrity, and then I have one non-celebrity, but I don't know if you have any more. So here we go. This is related to the story I read.
So, Mario.
Well, no.
No.
And then we have this theme song. That's the Zelda theme song.
Oh,
okay.
See, I never played Zelda.
You won't get it, but because I didn't know this guy's name either, but it's the guy who designed most of Nintendo's games.
Ah.
His name is Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, yeah, of course, him.
And he turned 59. But I thought it went along well with our with our Nintendo story.
All right.
Do you have a song for this other? Do you know who the other person is that I was going to mention?
No, who?
Oh, okay. Well, then you won't have a song. Lurie Dean.
It's Lurie Dean.
He had a birthday. I have no idea how old he is. He looks no older than 18, but
right.
I don't know how old he is.
Right. Let's see. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
Anyway.
Because he's Lurie Warbucks. Get it? See? You
know,
me,
I see.
Just thinking about your bald head and your money coming out your pockets.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Lurie. We love you.
Birthday,
I don't know
Lurie.
If you listen or not. I assume you do.
No, he doesn't. But I will pass it. I'll pass it along to him. Has he ever called our voicemail number?
Does he listen to other podcasts?
If they've never called our voicemail number, they've never listened. All right. So I have a birthday that is not on your list.
Okay.
Are you ready? I have it's not a song, but it's a clue as to who it is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so here's your clue.
R2-D2?
Close. I mean, that's just, think of it more as not so much as him as, you know, he's kind of like a computer sound. Because I don't have a computer sound, right? So like
Wally.
Right, say so like Wally or whatever, like, or...
Well, is this a person?
Well, no. It's a thing.
The computer.
Which computer?
Windows.
No. It's the
PC.
It was Leo's 60th birthday.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw that today on Google+.
The first ever business computer, the Leo 1, is 60 years old this week. It was actually built by British food manufacturer J. Lyons & Company, which was running some famous tea shops at the time.
All right.
There you go. That is not the very first computer, but the first business computer. 60 years old this week. So
well,
for all
birthday.
Of those people, and especially Lurie Dean, you know, happy birthday.
It's your birthday. I'm gonna have a good time. I'm glad it's your birthday. Happy birthday to ya.
All right.
You know, when I commissioned the new song, I was like, it needs to still have a laser.
Did you say it has to have extra lasers?
It has to have extra super duper lasers.
Right. All right. Well, I'll read the first one. So this is from Ethan,
Ethan.
So it says, "Hi, y'all. I just wanted to say I love your show. Daniel, you're great. You make me laugh. Great, G-R-A-T-E. You make me laugh and remind me of my boyfriend with you being an ass, and I love it. It makes you who you are. And Adam, love you like always. I will agree. Like always, I will agree. Daniel is great, is a great co-host, but will never replace Maddie. Hold on. I'm still awake. Google Hangouts.
Oh.
It always does that. Anyway, Daniel's great, blah, blah, blah. He was one of the
Blah, blah, blah. Let's go on about the part where I'm great.
Well, I did. You're great. But then yeah. I was blah, blahing that you weren't as good as Maddie.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Right. Well, just wanted to say hi and keep up the good work. Don't kill each other. See, I don't think we have the same sort of thing as Maddie and I at all.
No, no.
And Maddie is the, well, right. He is a professional at his assholedness.
Well, thank you for the email,
Ethan.
We also have an email here from Scotty, the little Aussie battler. Not to be confused with the little Aussie battler, which is not the same thing. Dearest Daniel and Adam, I had something to comment about on your latest show, but have forgotten now. Anyway, safe to say that it would have been criticizing Daniel whilst agreeing wholeheartedly with Adam. Perhaps it was about how everyone hates solo podcast, except for big fatties, of course. And so thank you, Scotty.
Well, I love you, Scotty, for agreeing with me, but now I'm sort of doing a solo one.
I know, I was
going
to say, you're doing a solo podcast.
You needed to say, except for, I still think people hate solo podcasts.
I don't think people hate solo podcasts. I think solo podcasts are very hard to do as opposed to a podcast where you can bounce something off another person. And I have a lot of respect for people who can do a solo podcast because it is. When I first started podcasting, I did a political show that was a solo show, and it was a lot of work to make it actually interesting. All right,
I'm doing 10 minutes and I can talk and talk and talk, but how interesting it is, I don't know. I don't like listening to myself by myself for 10 minutes, but hey, if anybody else wants to listen to it, it is fine with me.
All right, so go ahead and read the next one there.
All right, well, Terry in Wisconsin, who I've known for a long time, says, my lucid dream. It came about because of a conversation I had with someone about if I dream in color. Later, I had a dream, and in the middle of the dream, I stopped what I was doing and asked myself if I'm dreaming in color. I looked at my arm, and it was flesh color, so in the dream, I said, yeah, I'm dreaming in color. And that was his email. No hi, no bye, no anything. But anyway, Terry dreams in color. Thank you for the email, Terry.
Thank you, Terry. I was trying to find the Art Bell theme song thing, because I was going to do an Art Bell thing. That would be lucid dreaming because she was aware of the fact that she was dreaming.
He.
I thought Terry was a she.
Terry's a guy.
Oh, with a Y. Terry with a Y would make it a he. Sorry, Terry.
It's all right.
I didn't mean to reassign your gender like that. And then we have a voicemail in the form of a attached audio file.
All righty, let's hear it.
And this one, I believe, comes from the lovely and talented Miss Kathy Bacon. So let's listen to it, shall we? Shall we?
We shall.
We shall.
Jesus.
Thank you, Miss Kathy.
Was that it?
That was it. That was her. The subject of the email says, Harley, mine, lurker. So there's periods after each word. So it's three words with a period after each. Harley, mine, lurker.
Well, did she also say this is not to be played on the show? Because apparently she does that a lot.
Nope. If she had said that, I would, of course, never violate that. That's that other guy, that Wesley.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for your voicemail, Kathy.
Thank you, Miss Kathy. I'm glad that you figured out how to use your iPhone to record a thing. And by the way, it sounded absolutely perfect.
Was it in Dolby DTS?
It was, yes. It was her Harley in Dolby. It was THX and everything.
All right. Well, look at all that contact we got.
There's an ending.
Oh. 3, 2, 1.
You were trying to deprive me of a laser.
Sorry. I still want to find a clip of that woman going, fire the laser!
Well, then maybe you should find it.
I looked on YouTube and I couldn't find it, and I think George looked for it, George in Atlanta, and he couldn't find it either. I will have to find it. I wanted to see if the movie is on Netflix, and then I can just record the audio. But
yes, you should do that. And so, what are we going to do? Because I'm gone next week, we won't be recording a show for Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
I guess that's what you said.
Well,
I mean, I'm going to be here, but you're not.
Would you like? Let me look. you know, I saw there was somebody on Google Plus earlier lurking around. You know, maybe I could, maybe someone could come in and fill in for me.
Who would that be?
Well, let me see if they're still online. Let's see.
We're doing this on the show?
Yeah, why not? No, he's already logged off. I was going to say, Dr. Stone was online.
Oh, well, we can ask him.
You know,
because you can certainly send him a message and see if he wants to fill in. You know, I actually told him that he should switch and do this show and with me. And then, but see, you're on both shows, so it doesn't work for you to then. So then I would have to go on and do Live It Up. And then that would just leave you off of both shows.
I'm just saying that, you know, he records in the same way that we record, right? And that he's used to recording his own side of the audio and stuff. So, you know, it wouldn't be that big of a difference to record with him.
Well, I'd be happy to do a show with him, or we can wait until you're back. It's, I mean, we can ask him. I've never done a show with him.
So perhaps, you know, like, you know, filling in for me next week, because I'm a very important famous person that needs to have people filling in for me. Because then if I'm gone again, then you can get Gene to fill in for me.
Just get all your co-hosts.
And then if I'm gone like another time, you could get Big Fatty to fill in for me. Because what I'm thinking is each one of these people that would fill in for me would make the show just complete disaster. So this would kind of be like my disaster bucket list. TI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on a voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or you can send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Although, for whatever reason, Adam probably won't get it, but...
You know, we didn't mention that on the show, but I think you are doing just a fine job of creating disasters on this episode. So.
Why? What did I do? Did I miss something that I don't know what either? I am a consummate professional.
No one will know because I edit out mistakes, right? I think I should leave it in.
I think you should. Fine. Have a thappy Thanksgiving. No, you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
And if you need a turkey, remember, you can put them on layaway at Walmart.
You can, indeed.
Good night, Adam.
Good night, Daniel.
This would kind of be like my disaster bucket list. Oh, I'm supposed to play that. All right, just take this whole segment out because... and now I can't stop it. I don't want to be... Oh, there we go. All right, I got rid of it. No, take that whole segment out. All right, so anyway, I just... here, we'll start over again.